I'm an addict recovering from the disease of addiction. My name's Tony. Hey, family. Houston, Texas. HACNA. Houston Area Convention of Narcotics Anonymous, number what? 14? Come on. First and foremost, I always want to give thanks to the giver of the gift for the magnitude of the miracle. I want to give all the glory to the ultimate authority. I want to thank God for NA, and I want to thank NA for tapping me into a power. Into a power that makes the impossible possible. The program of Narcotics Anonymous, LaTanja, taught me how to say no to something I could never say no to. The program of Narcotics Anonymous still teaches me how to say no to something I still want to say yes to. Cheeseburgers, come, I be by myself. Cupcakes, ding-dongs, donuts, house of pies, lemon meringue, key lime pie. Y'all get the point. The program of Narcotics Anonymous provided me with an opportunity to ease the pain of living through spiritual principles. And y'all told me the program of Narcotics Anonymous is a set of spiritual principles, right? A set of spiritual principles written so simply that we can follow them in our daily lives. The most important thing about them is that they work. Now, they work if you work them. And they work if you don't work them, it just won't be working for you. My clean date is 7/23 of 05. I have 6,266 days clean. 17 years, 1 month, and 26 days clean. Relapse is not part of my story yet because y'all told me you're eligible too. And just like they say, we're one bad decision from picking up. I like to say I'm 12 steps ahead of the disease. See, our message is hope. Newcomer. Actually, newcomer, here you go. There's good news and there's bad news. The good news is that the lie is dead. We do recover. You never have to use drugs again, no matter what, even if you want to. The bad news is drugs are not the problem. Tony, what do you mean drugs aren't the problem? Drugs were my solution to what I thought the problem was. They were my solution, and now that I got here in Narcotics Anonymous by a divine intervention, the divorce court judge. She suggests I get a sponsor and I work 12 steps. See, I was locked and loaded on a fixed idea with I heard the message way before I even made a meeting. Right? The message of hope, newcomer. Hold on, pain ends. Our message is hope. If you've been here for a minute, helping other people. Right? Helping other people. Hearing other people's experiences. If you've been here for a long time, it's helping other people every day. See, hope is helping other people pursue excellence. Hope is helping other people pursue empowerment. Our message is hope and the promise of freedom that an addict. Y'all know it, any addict. Right? Gay addict, straight addict, transgender addict. Check it out. I went to school and I learned some new words. Pansexual addict, asexual addict, try anything, sexual addict, any addict can stop using drugs physical, lose the desire to use mental, and find a new way to live spiritual. Thank God I got a mic. All right. Helping others is perhaps the highest. It is perhaps the highest aspiration of the human heart. It works how and why. Page 121. Oh, wait, I already got it. Thank you. I want to read the topic. Helping others is perhaps the highest aspiration of the human heart and something we have been entrusted with as a result of a higher power working in our lives. We would do well to remember to ask the God of our understanding to continue working through us in our efforts to carry the message. Diligently practicing the principles of recovery will ensure that the connection between ourselves and our higher power remains open and that our service to others is firmly rooted in spirituality. See, I didn't know that I was going to come in here and I was going to have an awakening of the Spirit. See, I just came in here to stop using and get everyone off my back and continue to use when I'm done. See, but God had other plans. See, what I realized is that I was the walking dead before God, y'all, breathed life into me so I could be able to see later through the vision of hope. Yeah. See, and I learned through the step working process is that entrusted means to assign the responsibility. See, the first 11 steps are about alignment, and step 12 is about my assignment. How am I carrying the message? See, the basic text says that the carrying the message is our best insurance. You see, we have a guarantee and we have insurance. It's like you got your car and you got some insurance. The guarantee is working the steps, and carrying the message is our best insurance. See, step 11 says, here we go, Peter. In an attitude of surrender and humility, we approach this step again and again to receive the gift of knowledge and strength from the God of our understanding. The 10th step clears away the errors of the present so we may work the 11th step. Without this step, it is unlikely that we can experience a spiritual awakening, practice spiritual principles, and in our lives, or carry a sufficient message to attract others to recovery. See, I gotta get an 11th step. See, if I get into the 11th step and I'm trying to figure out who I'm praying and meditating to, I got a broke second step. See, through the 12-step process, it's the awakening of the Spirit. 1, 2, 3 is to trust God. 4 through 9 is to clean up my house. And 10, 11, and 12 are the maintenance to help others. See, Hugs Not Drugs used to have this t-shirt that said, 1, 2, 3 is give up. 4, 5, 6 is, nope, clean up. 7, 8, 9 is make up. And 10, 11, and 12 is clean, is keep up. Right? Helping others, what am I doing for my 12th step? We can do it many ways. Some people are good at service. Some people are good behind the scenes. Others are good on one-on-one. Some are good up here, you know. My thing was, I heard it say, the basic text says, sponsorship. The ones who get the most out of this program is the one that sponsorship's most important. It will enrich our spiritual experience. See, I don't know about y'all, but I was the guy that wanted to get real high. I wanted it all. So when y'all told me that sponsorship was the way, that's what I wanted to do. But then my sponsor says, uh-oh, better pump the brakes, Tony. See, in our sponsorship family, we don't sponsor people until we have 12 steps. Uh-oh. 12 steps, 12 traditions. Look, if you're walking around with 12 steps without 12 traditions, you're walking around with half the truth. See, y'all told me that walking around telling half the truth is a whole lie. Uh-oh. See, my friend Peter tells me that, you know, 10% of people do the work around here, and only 10% of those people work the traditions. So thank God I have a sponsor that worked me step one, tradition one, step two, tradition two, and going through the process. See, I want to welcome Sam. Sam called in. Look, check it out. Some people got together and we had the phone line here and we pick up the phone and talk to addicts, and someone called the phone line and he made it to this meeting today. When y'all see Sam out here, give him a hug. Tell him you love him because you're in the right place. Our literature says that it's a privilege to ask for a cry for help. So sometimes when my sponsees call me or anyone calls me and I look at the phone, I'm like, shit, I don't want to answer it. Right now I'm on season 3, episode 5. I'll get it later. Next thing you know, I'm on season 4 and I still haven't called them back. Right? And then I remember, shit, it's a privilege for me to get that call. See, what I don't want to do is miss that call and then I get the phone call that they said that they're dead. Right? Addicts die. You know, relapse does happen. Relapse is never an accident. Relapse is just a sign you got a reservation in your program. Right? And I always ask people, see, I'm doing this thing where I do my own research. I do my own research and I try to come up with my own conclusions. And I ask people, when I hear that they relapse, I give them a hug and I tell them I love you, but I got to ask you a question. I got to know, what were you thinking? What did the disease say right before you said the Addicts National Anthem? Y'all know what the Addicts National Anthem is? Fuck it, I'll just have one. Right? And then they tell me, what if they vary? It varies, and the next thing you know, I say, I got another question. Who did you call right before you thought it was a good idea to use? And I work in treatment and I ask them the same thing. Who did you call right before you thought it was a good idea to use? And you can hear a pin drop. I call the dope man. I call whatever. I call no one. So you mean to tell me if you pick up the phone when you're thinking about using that works? See, my friend Jimmy C says he's got 100% success rate if you call before you use. See, ain't nothing we can do if you call after you use except for make a meeting, get a sponsor, work 12 steps. Thank you. Twelfth step. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result. As a result means that I worked the previous 11 steps. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message and to practice these principles in all our affairs. What the hell does practice mean? Funny you should ask, Troy. Practice means the actual application or use of an idea, belief, or method as opposed to theories relating to it. The actual application. That means that I gotta do something. What am I doing? Today I sponsor people. Today I have a commitment. I kind of like what Brandon said, if you don't know the address of your home group, you might want to check out your membership. I said, shit, my address to my home group is on the virtual platform. I still don't know all the damn numbers. But I was homeless for a little bit. Right? Everyone has their niche. They say find your niche and do it good. But check this out. Give our service structure a break. Before you find that niche, give it 2 years. Go 90 days, do the H&I. Go to 6 months, go ahead and carry the message through H&I. When you have a year, 6 months, get the GSR position, do positions at your home group, because if sponsors would tell their sponsors, if we all did this in 10 years, where would we be? Before you pick that niche, how do I know what my niche is if I haven't tried everything else? See, I've been guilty of, look, my thing was weird because I didn't do all that stuff early on. I started doing H&I and GSR and all that stuff after I had 8 years clean. Yeah. My service position at the home group was just a chair and lead meetings for a long time. Until I was able to sponsor people. Once I was starting to sponsor people, oh shit. Tammy, I still say, man, how come I just can't go to the old days, man? Where all I had to do was just make a meeting, do my step work, get a service position, and that's it. Right? And stay clean. Then he throws, now look, sponsorship doesn't mean I'm the marriage counselor, lawyer, doctor, whatever it is. Look, check it out. The step working guide says, if I don't feel comfortable on bringing you to my house, then I shouldn't. See, I used to get caught up and started to feel guilty when there was people like, I would do anything for the addict suffering. And then they ain't got a place to go. And they say, can I come to your house? Some addicts out there open up their house to everyone, and my hat goes off to you. But just like some of the format said, that we ask that you don't bring drugs, paraphernalia, or any of that stuff in the meeting, I ask, I don't do that either at my house. I don't need to feel guilty if you can't come over. Another thing with sponsorship. How much time I got? Oh, I got it. Page 123, step working guide. Why do we carry the message? Not to serve ourselves, even though we benefit. We carry the message to help others, to help them find freedom from their addiction, and to grow as individuals. If we have an attitude that the people we sponsor are somehow our possessions, that their lives would fall apart if we weren't directing their every move, then most likely they wouldn't even be clean without us. Then we've missed the point of the 12th step. We don't expect recognition for the number of sponsees we have or for how well they're doing. See, my sponsor says that, look, I don't take recognition for how well you're doing, and I don't take blame if you relapse. We don't expect recognition for being a service. We do these things to accomplish something good. Selfless service, steadfastness, some of the spiritual principles that are contained within the 12th step. See, what I love about steadfastness is that it's me doing the best I can, whether I'm disgusted with it, whether I'm tired of it, whether I'm just doing the best I can and I keep moving forward. It says it is a great paradox that selfless service becomes an expression of our deepest selves. Through our work in the previous steps, we have uncovered a self that cares more about allowing a higher power to work through us than it cares about recognition and glory. Thank you. We have uncovered a self that cares more about principles than the exercise of our individual personalities. Just as our disease is often expressed in self-centeredness, our recovery is expressed beautifully as selfless service. The transformation from being so selfish, self-centered, I wouldn't do shit for no one unless I was going to benefit. See, the 12th step is where we get that spiritual principle that in order to receive, we must be willing to give. See, I can only keep what I have unless I give it away. There are some members that come in here, work their stuff, work their traditions, take off, and you never see them again. Oh, maybe after a year to pick up another whatever. You know what I'm talking about. They told me, my sponsor says, that's stealing from the fellowship. Not giving back what was so freely given to you. See, I always say, Timmy, it's easy to give something that you know you're going to give. But can you give the thing you love the most? See, that's where God gets deep in there. And I love that lemon pie last night, Michael, but I gave it to you anyway. I was telling Kathy, and she gifted me two pies. She told me later, she said, once you give a gift, that's it. It's a gift without conditions. But she said, after I gave you that pie, she was like, yeah, Tony, and I gave those to you. She was like, just as an example, a gift means giving without conditions. When I give you something, see, look, society sets it up where I got to give you something, and now I got to give you give me something, and I feel like I have to give you something back. A gift is a gift. See, God instills in us, each one of us, if you're here clean, just for today, you've received the gift. Whether it's the gift of desperation, grow or die, good old dependability, guaranteed overnight delivery, whatever you want to call God, just get one. I like it what Kathy said back in the old days. They said, if you're not praying, you're not staying. See, the ones that suffer with this program are the ones that don't believe in the disease concept. And those that struggle with a higher power. See, the beautiful thing about this program is you can choose whatever power you want. Some people don't like when I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. They told me prayer's a lot like sex. Doesn't matter what position you're in as long as you make contact. Conscious contact. But what I understand through the step working process, that if I act out on a character defect when I have the ability not to, it's an impairment of my spiritual growth. I don't know if you heard me. If I act on a character defect when I have the ability not to, it will eventually paralyze my spiritual growth. If I'm walking around thinking, look, I got a connection, but I know there's more and I'm missing something, I'm getting the short circuit, I ask myself, how am I doing with my defects of character? See, I used to think that I suffered with gluttony. Right? I was telling people, I can't stop eating cheeseburgers, fries, Mike and Ike's. whatchamacallit, Snickers, Reese's, you know what I'm talking about. Don't get me on the ice cream, Baskin Robbins. I go, look, I don't even get the scoops anymore. I buy the quarts. I said, this is going to last me all week. It lasts me 2 days. And I said, I can't stop. I thought I was stuck in the powerlessness. See, there's a difference between being powerless and powerlessness. Powerless means I have no control, but powerlessness means using against my own will. Even when I want to stop, I can't. But I also came to a realization. It's not that I can't. Right now, I choose not to surrender. See, I got people calling me, telling me, my sponsor called me, have you surrendered yet? And I'm not like, no. I'm like, no, I'll call you later. My mind says, what do I have to do? Wait for a heart attack before I say, oh, shit, do you think I should have done something different? I'll see people walking around that used to be big, and now they're like this big, and they said, I just got out of the hospital. Right, Troy? We got to quit bullshitting and start doing something different. See, because I've dropped 50, dropped 100, gained 50, gained 100. For 10 years, it's been like this, a roller coaster. The struggle is real. What do? Just stop eating? But I know what works for me. But right now I'm like, this is what I was talking to someone earlier about. Because how come I can have an 800 credit score, which means I pay my bills, more than pay my bills. How come I can like take care of my stuff and be self-disciplined and vigilant, but then when it comes to something like this, I choose not to. Sloth, I'm lazy. Right? I said, it's not just, and I put it off, procrastination. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it Monday. I'll start Monday. It'll be tomorrow, the next day, later. And what gets me is this, Jimmy. It's not just procrastination. It's the ones that get me from not being vigilant. I came to the understanding that it's procrastination and apathy. See, when I got the apathy part, the lack of consideration, it's not really that bad. It's an attitude that I don't give a shit and I procrastinate. And now I've got my two seemingly inherent enemies connected to the triangle of self-obsession. Now I'm caught in the vicious cycle. And surrender is the solution. See, right now, sometimes I go to places so they can show me the example. See, the 12th step talks about the example. Someone has to show me. I do good with observation. But I'm telling you, man, I need to do something different. See, I got to a point to where I wasn't having... Like, I'm like, look, man, if I die, I'm okay, man. I ain't got to pay no more bills. Right? I got to a point where I'm in a spot of my life where I'm happy, joyous, and free and content. But then I found out I want more. Even where I'm at, there's another place we can be. See, the literature says when the drugs go and the addict works the program, wonderful things happen, right? Lost dreams awaken and new possibilities arise. I would say, what's the next sentence? You see, our willingness to grow spiritually keeps us buoyant, afloat, unsinkable. And when we take the action indicated in the steps, the results are a change in our personality. It is our actions that are important, and we leave the results to our higher power. Right? I want more. Not do I want to go, look, man, I came in with a high school diploma and I have a master's degree. I'm getting ready to get another license. and I want to be a doctor. Tammy, from the dope house to doctor. My mom says, before I die, Tony, I want you to be Dr. Tony. I want to see it. But then once I get there, then what? You see, I want more. So I know my time's coming up, so I'm going to shut up with this. Guy, I need principles. It says when we take the action indicate that's it. Oh, snap. No, I don't have that one. Hang on. Did I lose it? Okay. Hang on, I got the spare. I got it right here. It's on the phone. They say you got to keep your literature within arm length because your life is at stake. Right? When we incorporate a spiritual principle in our lives, it's just a word on a page. Hang on. Shit. When we incorporate a spiritual principle in our lives, it's just a word on a page, right? It says we must live it to understand it. The basic text says as we live it, our lives and actions give it more meaning than words or literature ever could. Someone asked me, Tony, how you living? I said, I live better than I share, right? God gifted me to be able to take care of my kids, my mom, and to be clean and be a brother to my sister, to be a dad to my kids, to be a son to my mom, and to be able to be the best recovering addict I can be. And I'm happy to do that. I love you. Thanks for letting me share. You have one? You have one?
Hi, family, I'm D'Angela. I'm an addict. And I've been clean all day today, and for that, I'm truly grateful. And I'm a little bit emotional today, but I'm going to push myself through it. I want to say congratulations to Hagner for 14 years. Yay! Right? I had a resentment for Hagner. When I got clean in 1995, I was on the committee of the registration chair for Hagner that year, and I was working with the chairperson, and then the chairperson relapsed, right? And so I wanted to go to Hagner and become the chair since I was working with on the committee, right? But I had about 6 months 6 months clean. And I came to the meeting, I came to Hagner, showed up, and they voted somebody else in. I was mad at y'all for a long time, right? But I'm so grateful today that we each other eyes and ears in this program. They knew at 6 months I did not need to be the chair of no Hagner. So I'm grateful. I'm real grateful for that. You know, I got a little nervous because when I was asked to come share and speak, the conversation went like this. D'Angela, we wanted to see if you was available to come speak at Hagner and share your experience, strength, and hope. And I'm like, sure. And then he say, I want you to bring some fire. We want to bring the fire down. And I said, oh, right? And so that I won't let y'all down, I brought a little fire with me. That way. That way, you won't be able to say, I ain't bring the fire. I wanted to be able to say, I'm D'Angela, and I brought the fire to Hagner. And for that, I'm grateful. You know, I heard Glendora share, and when she was speaking, she talked about circuit speaker, right? Let me read this right quick. And she was talking about the circuit speaker. And I was thinking, and I read this, it says, wait a minute. Okay. The ways in which we carry the message are as varied as our members. There are, however, some basic guidelines that we as fellowship have found to be helpful. First and foremost, we share our experience, our strength, and our hopes. So I might not be no circuit speaker, but I'm sure doggone is the plug. Right? My clean date is January the 12th, 1995. I have 27 years clean in this program. And this program has became a way of life for me. I'm not new to it, I'm true to it. Narcotics Anonymous has did more for me than I could have ever done for myself. And when they asked me to come and share and they gave me the topic, I say, who all up in my house? Right? The topic that they gave me was helping others is perhaps the highest aspiration of the human heart. The aspiration. What is aspiration? Aspiration is a goal, right? You know, and helping others has become a way of life for me. And when it said that when we help others, we actually help ourselves. You know, so I'm real grateful to be clean and I'm nervous. You know, like this year has been real challenging for me, you know, but I stepped up to the plate. I was a big girl, right? But in February, y'all, the little girl in me came out. And she came out and I didn't know how to put her back in, right? She was out here acting like she didn't know what to say. She didn't know what to do. She didn't know who to believe. She didn't know who to trust. And she was just out here all by herself, right? And she stayed out a real long time. And I saw myself going down to like a depressive kind of state, right? My disease was talking to me. And me and my disease was having a conversation, and we was having a real good conversation, and we said, forget them people in Narcotics Anonymous. Right? You know, we already went through COVID. We already been at home for a couple of years. Right? You don't need them. And I began to talk to the disease, and the disease began to sound good to me, right? And then the disease sounded just like me, and I always think I'm right. Right? And then I saw myself slipping on a banana peel that I had dropped on the ground, right? And as I began to slip on the banana peel, I began to go into isolation and close myself off, right? You know, then when I was over here talking to this person, I was agreeing with this person. When I was over here talking to this person, I was agreeing with this person. I ain't know what in the heck was going on, right? And then if y'all see this shirt I got on.
Come on now.
This shirt say, I am she. Right? I was sitting in this state of mind, and a friend of mine was going to this convention, The Little Girl Grows Up. That has always been my favorite chapter in the fifth edition of Our Basic Text. Not because of what are the wordings that's saying in that chapter, but the heading itself. Little Girl Grows Up. Right, when I got to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I did not know who I was or what I liked. I had been a chameleon for so long that I thought that if I made you happy, I was happy. I thought if I did what you wanted me to do and you was good, then I was good, right? And then I got strung out on drugs. I made it to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and I did not know who I was. But the first thing I did was change my name, right? I grew up as Dina Watson, right? Then I became Dina Sims. And Dina Sims became a dope fiend. And she did a whole bunch of stuff that she wasn't proud of, right? And so when I made it to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, they asked you, who are you? You know, every time you share, you gotta say your name, right? I wanted to be anybody but Dina Sims. So I used my legal name, became D'Angela, because she hadn't did nothing yet. Right? Then I stayed in the room. When it was talking about Little Girl Grows Up, then D'Angela got a reputation. D'Angelo was over here acting up, doing all kinds of stuff, but what she didn't do is get high. I grew up in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I grew up at Alive and Kicking. On McGowan. Right? And what they taught me then was, no matter what, don't pick up. They said, no matter what, don't pick up and just keep coming back. Right? I've been all in the NA news. Man, I was at a group conscious one time, got a big old fight at group conscious. Right? But today, after working a few steps, coming to believe in a power greater than myself that could restore me back to sanity, today, I'm a different person. I'm not the same person that I was back then today, but like now. I've been acting like something is like the big elephant in the middle of the room, right? And I have been going all day long not trying not to cry, right? Just redirecting my brain, redirecting my thoughts, right? Y'all know in the Living Clean pamphlet IP9, there's a question. It's like over 40-some questions. Look, my chest feel like it's about to bust. It's about 40-something questions on that pamphlet. And one of the questions asks, have you felt any intense joy or pain? And they put in an intense joy or pain. And I have been feeling some intense pain. The kind of pain that you cannot even put in words. The kind of pain when somebody asks you, hey, you okay? And you say, I'm fine. The kind of pain that make you act like you're not in pain, right? And I don't know how to describe it, and I don't know what to do with it. So I just act like it ain't there, right? So I went to this little girl grows up. And as I went to the little girl grows up, man, the person that I went with, I knew that I needed to be there because I was slipping on these banana peels that I had been dropping along my path. And I began to get real, real honest with my friend. And I began to just throw up everything that I was feeling. And I said it with no apologetically, none of that, right? And when I got through sharing all this stuff with her, she was just in tears. I said, what's wrong? She said, you need help. I said, don't you think I know that? Right? I know I was in a bad spot, right? You know, nothing had became for real for me like the cliche that we say when we get in this room sometimes and we hear it, but it comes alive in us. It's like tie a knot and hold on. Just tie a knot and hold on, right? It's like I was on this train with these people. We on a journey, and everybody jumped off the train. Right? And I'm on the train, headed to the journey, and I look up, I'm by myself. Right? But I can't give up. I can't give in. I gotta keep going. Because this is my assignment, right? And so what I do, I tie a knot, I hold on, I do the next thing in front of me to do. That's all I know what to do, right? You know, and I try to get through it without feeling it. And then when I get home, I'm no good, right? But then when I get up, I keep on to the assignment, right? And but because of Narcotics Anonymous, man, because of this program, and because the red light indicator came on that said that you're in trouble, right? The literature talk about we're each other's eyes and ears in here, right? And because my friend loved me enough to tell me, you need to get some help, right? And she kept calling me and she kept checking on me, and I got some help, right? And I got my voice back. And the little girl began to grow up, right? You know, I told the little girl, I said, listen, I got you. You okay. You safe. I got 12 steps. I got 12 traditions. I got the 12 concepts. I got 27 years in this process. I come from a no matter what, don't pick up. And I'm not going to use no matter what. Right? I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to keep doing what it is in front of me to do. You know, I be trying to share in a general way sometime, right? Sometimes a general way just ain't good enough. Right? Sometimes I have to share the exact nature of what's going on with me. You know what? I'm real grateful for the women that my high power have in my life because, man, you know what? I don't sugarcoat nothing for them, and I give it to them with love and compassion, and guess what? They give it back to me. Right? They talk about sponsorship as a two-way street, and for that, I'm grateful, right? So don't be playing with sponsorship. Sponsorship is the heartbeat of the fellowship, right? And today, because of the love of the fellowship, I have some women in my life that deposit things in me and that I'm able to deposit things in them, and they give it back to me, right? Because on any given moment, man, I'm in that spot where I can't get out of. You know, it talks about in the literature that sometimes we put ourselves in a position, we back ourselves up in a corner that we can't get out clean, right? But just for today, I'm not going to use. Just for today, listen, I come from, if you're newcomers, if you're new in this program, man, And you came in here not believing in this fellowship, keep coming back, right? If you came in here because your probation officer told you to come, keep coming back, right? I came in here and I came in here wanting to get high right. I didn't know I was couldn't use no more, right? I wanted y'all to show me how to get high right. I wanted to be a successful addict. I kept thinking that I was doing it wrong. So I came to Narcotics Anonymous and I sat in the meeting and I was listening to people share, and then all of a sudden the meeting was over. And I looked up and I say, this ain't gonna keep me clean. Right? This not gonna do it for me. And then they started giving out the key tags. And when they started giving out the key tags, I saw people saying that they had 30 days clean. And I was amazed. Right? And then somebody had 60 days. Then 90 days. I was like, 90 days? Whoa! I'm up clapping. That's a long time. 90 days. Right? And then somebody said they had 6 months clean. And when that 6 month came, y'all, I slumped back in my chair. And when I slumped back in my chair, the predecessor was sitting on side of me and she said, what's wrong? I say nothing, but she could tell the body language. She said, no, what's wrong? I said, I never stay clean 6 months. She said, you don't have to. I say, what? She said, you don't have to stay clean 6 months. I thought I had found the one that was going to show me how to get high right, right? And so now she got my attention. I say, I don't? She said, no. She say, just stay clean today. Right? I say, what? She said, just stay clean today. I said, oh, so I can get high tomorrow? She said, yeah. Just stay clean today. And then every morning when you wake up, just stay clean today. You can do whatever you want to tomorrow, right? I had 6 months before I knew that tomorrow was never coming. That every time I woke up, it was today, right? And with that analogy, I got into this program, man, and all I did was didn't use one day at a time, right? When I got to my 6 month key tag, y'all, I knew it was something to this program. I knew it. I knew at 6 months that I was going to have a year clean, and I was going to be celebrating my clean day at birthday night at Alive and Kicking in Houston, Texas. Right? And so I'm real grateful. I'm real grateful for the step working process. I'm real grateful for sponsorship. I'm real grateful that I no longer have to peep out of windows and crawl on floors. Right? I'm real grateful that today I'm the best me that I could possibly be. Right? I don't know if y'all know, February the 10th, my friend passed away, and she was an only child, and she had her mother. Her mother is still living, and her mother was in the hospital at the time, and so that's the big elephant in the middle of the room, y'all, right? Her mother was in the hospital, and I started looking after her, right? Now, my topic says that helping others is perhaps the highest aspiration of the human heart and something we have been entrusted with as a result of a higher power working in our lives. I took on the obligation of caring for her mother. Not for no payoff. Not for no money. Because it was the right thing to do.
All right?
Right? And because I love my friend. Right? And I think I did a good job. She passed away Tuesday. And I was right there. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I stayed on the train. I didn't get off the train. I saw it to the end, right? Because I love her and I love my friend. And it's because of a direct result of working this program and carrying this message in all our affairs. Right? It says it's a direct result of working the steps. In the 11th step, man, we get an awakening. We get a spiritual awakening, right? And then when you get that awakening in the 12th step, everything that we learned from step 1 to step 11, we carrying it out in step 12, right? It's in our walk, and it's in our walk, not just our talk, right? I'm not good. Look, I'm... I heard Tyrell say, you know, I like to share, but this don't make me, right? I remember when I wanted to be a speaker. I wanted to be behind this podium, right? I don't want to do that no more. I'd rather sit one-on-one. I'd rather love you through your process, right? And then the minute I said I ain't want to do this, people asked me to share. Right? And then I can't say the no to Narcotics Anonymous, right? Because I owe them. We have to freely give back. We have to give back what was freely given to us, right? And so I have a message, right? I have the message. Listen, I'm Narcotics Anonymous. I have an NA sponsor. They got an NA sponsor. I work NA steps. I go to NA meetings. That's who I am. Brandon had on the shirt say NA purist. I said, I need one of those. Right? Narcotics Anonymous has gave me a new chance at life. Right? And I carry it in all of my affairs. Like today, I'm the best. Listen, I don't know, you know, and sometimes I'd be ashamed of sharing this, and you know, because people want to hear drama, right? And I'm not in no more drama no more, right? I did that early years. I did that in my 5 years, 10 years, you know, 12 years. I was, you know, I got 27 years. I'm doing some things right today, right? I'm making some right decisions today. Like, look, I'm the best wife I could possibly be, even on my bad days, right? I'm the best daughter that I could possibly be, even when I fall short. Look, I got keys to everybody's house. I got keys to mama's house, grandma's house, right? My brother, everybody's house, right? They was locking me out of houses. They was having secret meetings, saying, don't let me know. They ain't want me nowhere. Now I got keys to the city, right? And I'm great. Listen, I am so grateful. And I also heard Brandon say, you know, here he go, you're going to share, I'm going to share the good stuff, right? Because today, I'm a business owner. I run a business that I love. I take care of children. I love kids. I love them from 6 to 6. Monday through Friday. Right? I went, you guys, from writing hot chicks to writing paychecks. Listen, I got a record about this thick, right? And I remember when I got my first job, you guys, And I had been working there, and all of a sudden, my boss called me in the office, and she say, here. And I say, what? And she throw this envelope in front of me, and I'm talking about this envelope was this thick. And I say, what's that? She said, that's your criminal history. I say, no way. You know I've been clean a little while. All right, no way. No. And I went to going through the little criminal history, right? And everything on there, I did. Everything. I mean, wasn't nothing, no mistaken identity. All of my aliases, all of them was up there, right? And one of them things was on there was theft by check, y'all. And I can remember when I opened my business and I started writing paychecks, and I remember signing my first paycheck to one of my employees, and I just bust out crying, right? Gratitude. Grateful for this program, man. You know, I'm real grateful, and I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world. You know, I love Narcotics Anonymous. If you're newer than myself and you made it to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, give yourself a break, man. If you think there's nothing to this program, keep coming back, right? If you don't believe in this program, it's okay, keep coming back, right? You keep coming back until more be revealed, right? And then listen, I left from Houston, went to Caldwell. I live in a small town, started an NA meeting down there, right? And then them folks didn't want to come out of Caldwell, so I bought NA to them. We started having anniversaries in Caldwell, right? December the 3rd, we're going to be celebrating our 22nd year anniversary. So if you're not doing anything, somebody said, if you don't know your home group, my home group is New Freedom Group of Caldwell, Texas, 503 Freeman Street. We meet every Wednesday at 12 noon and every Thursday and Sunday at 6:30. If you're ever in Caldwell, just stop by the population sign and holler my name and I'm going to hear you. Thank y'all for letting me share.